this recording started and all of that. All right, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sister Greeley. I'm going to teach this series this week and the next week, and then revisit it next year sometime because we got the end of the year stuff coming up. Christmas Eve is on a Wednesday. New Year's Eve is on a Wednesday. So we'll do something different for that. But this is pretty cool because the whole claim of celebration of the season is about Jesus. Amen. So this is fitting. I would say that every season is about Jesus. This is a reminder. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bad seasons and good seasons, they're all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we start. Lord Jesus, ask you, God, to bless us tonight. Move in this place, God. Lord, we want to proclaim you and your name and your greatness, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up, Lord Jesus. That is our prayer tonight, Lord Jesus. God, in each and every one of our lives, in each and every one of our hearts, God. Lord, help us to magnify you and praise you and worship you, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You could be seated. Praise the Lord. We'll open up again with this verse that we were talking about last week in John chapter 4, verse 41. But the idea is for us to hear him for ourselves. John gave us really what the heartbeat of this whole series is on us hearing the Lord Jesus for ourselves. So it says in John 4:41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Somebody say that with me. The Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. And that's what's happened in Samaria. And God wants it to happen to us as well. Their faith, the Samaritans, shifted from a borrowed faith or secondary to, it was just from a testimony that they heard. It was borrowed. And it shifted to primary or direct. And we don't want our faith in Jesus to be secondary in anything. We want our faith in the Lord Jesus to be primary. Amen. I would say that applies to all of us, especially in the day and age. Pastor talked about it a little bit on Sunday. That we live in and the challenges that we face. It is so key that the generations of young people to come, and I pray for you because it's a little crazy. And I would say my generation, my wife and I's, was the last generation to not have computers in the home. When we were born, we didn't have computers. We got a computer when we were about five, and I've been in computer stuff ever since. But break fix. I used to break the computer and then fix the computer. Break the computer. My mom would be pulling her hair out. Fix the computer. Still doing that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, practice. Amen. But just to recap what we looked at in lesson one, in Mark chapter 1 and 2, there were these foundational truths, the revelation of who Jesus is. In Mark 1, the Lord of Isaiah 40 stepped into human history. And in Mark 2, the God who forgives sin and heals revealed his authority in the flesh. Those were the two chapters that we covered last week. And those chapters taught us that Jesus is not merely another prophet or messenger or teacher of God, but he is God that stepped into creation with us. Amen. He's God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So Mark chapters 3 through 6 is what we will cover tonight. That will take the revelation even further. We're talking about the revelation of who Jesus is. And I told you last week, Mark reveals in every single chapter something either that was told about him, said about him, or that he said himself that proves who he is, that he is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Amen. And so Jesus doesn't just reveal his identity in the book of Mark, but we're going to continue on this vein of how his authority is unmatched. Who is like him? None. Amen. And so he binds the strong man in Mark chapter 3. He commands the sea in Mark chapter 4. He raises the dead by his own word in Mark chapter 5. And he walks on the waves. And that's something that only God can do in Mark chapter 6. This is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not a God who keeps us at a distance. Not a God who hides himself. Not a God who we don't know or have not seen or have not heard. But a God who steps in to our chaotic lives. A God who steps into our storms and our homes. And a God who is with us when we're afraid. And even into our death. And he brings his power. And he brings all his dominion with him. And we are never alone. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus is here with us. So I want tonight for us to continue this sort of journey that we were on through the book of Mark. And think about yourself being there if you can. Have your imagination put you in that room with the Lord Jesus. Think about how he walked on this earth and how he spoke. And let's follow Jesus, amen, the Christ, who is not just on the pages of a book. Amen. Oh, yes, this book is so powerful, and this is where we find out about him. But everything he says in this word, he is still able to do it. He's still able to perform it. Amen. He never lost power. He never diminished in life. He never diminished in his authority. And his dominion and kingdom has no end. Amen. There's nothing that the enemy forms against us can ever rule over us, because we have the Lord Jesus with us. Amen. We have his spirit in us. Amen. And we're never, never in these things by ourselves. And so this second part I titled The Christ Above All Powers. The Christ Above All Powers. Oh, this is what I couldn't wait to get to last week. Think about that. The Christ Above All Powers. Praise the Lord. So Mark chapter 3. Jesus binds the strong man by his own power. Look at this context in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Jesus is answering the Pharisees who came and accused Jesus of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, or Satan. He accuses. This is the famous part that he says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan casts out Satan, then Satan will be defeated. Amen. But this is part of that answer that he gave them, is here in verse 27. And he says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, in this context, when Jesus says no man, he's referring to himself. And when he refers to a strong man, he is referring to Satan. So let's look at this again. No man can enter into a strong man's house. So Jesus can't enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And so the point Jesus is making is that Jesus did not need permission or delegated authority, but that Jesus himself has the power to enter into your life, to bind Satan, and to cast Satan out. There's no demon in hell that God needs permission from in order to destroy. He doesn't have to knock. He doesn't have to sneak in. Amen. He doesn't have to declare himself. Amen. He has no, what's the term? Duty to retreat. Amen. He has no duty to retreat. Amen. He can just walk into your life. And all the chaos that the enemy has put in your life and in your family and on your job, Jesus can bind that strong man and destroy him. Cast him out. Amen. And he will not have any authority over you. Amen. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures of all, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Amen. And he doesn't need to pray to someone else. Amen. Because he has all power. He doesn't need to call on a higher name, because there is no other name higher. Amen. He does it by his own authority, something that the apostles could only do with his permission. Amen. And through his name. Amen. Pastor Greeley, we don't go around casting out devils in our own name, because we would get hurt. Amen. But we have the name of Jesus, and we have the Spirit of our God within us. Amen. And when we speak the name of Jesus, the demons have to go. Hallelujah. Imagine being there. Amen. The disciples, Jesus had already given them authority to cast out devils. Amen. And they struggled with that. There were some things that they needed to get right in their life before they could actually do what Jesus told them to do. Amen. I had a whole Bible study about that one time. About, you know, fighting Satan with the wrong spirit. Amen. But see, Jesus didn't have to work things out in his life and make sure he was anointed and make sure that... No. He didn't have to do any of that. And what this reveals is that Jesus is God alone. The scripture says in Isaiah 49, verse 24. And look at who this is talking about. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? So here, if we take this context of how Jesus was talking about it, we're the prey, and Satan is the mighty, little M. Right? The strong man. Yeah, don't be deceived. Satan, he's a strong deceiver. Yeah. He does have some power. Power to deceive. Yeah. But shall the prey be taken? Seems like no. Seems like the answer to this is no. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Well, how are we going to do that? They're mighty. or the lawful captive delivered? The law has authority to keep people in jail. So the answer to that seems no. But look at the next verse. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that promise right now. Amen. Because there's no power of the enemy that can stop God from saving your children. And it's him that does it. It is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that can come and any resistance that would stand against him, any strength of chains or walls or strongholds that would stand against him, he will go through them. Amen. And he will take back what the enemy has stolen. Amen. We believe in a God who has all power. Amen. Over the enemy. And only the Lord God can overpower the enemy of our soul. Jesus is over all the power of the enemy because Jesus is the Almighty God. There is none else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, last week, and I'm going to continue in this vein, is we don't want to just have a revelation of what Jesus can do for others or in the past or on the pages of this book. We want to know how this affects our relationship with God. There's a response that happens when we get revelation, and it affects who we are. It affects how we pray. It affects what we do. It affects how we live. And it certainly affects our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. So how does knowing Jesus' authority over the enemy affect my walk with him? Well, knowing that Jesus has bound the strong man means we live from victory. We live from victory, not toward victory. In other words, we fight our battles from the knowledge that Jesus has already won. We're not fighting to win because he already won. Our relationship with God becomes fearless because the one we follow and the one we have in our life and in our heart has already crushed the adversary. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Jesus embarrassed the devil. Jesus, he put him on parade. Defeated, amen, the adversary of our soul. And walking with Jesus means walking with the one who already broke the power of the enemy over our lives. So our part is to keep reminding Satan that he's lost. Romans 16:20, and I find this so powerful, so amazing. If you go back into Genesis chapter 3, it says that the seed of the woman, Eve, the seed of the woman, which we know is Jesus Christ, will bruise the head, or the Satan will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the heel will crush the head of the serpent. But that's extended to us. Look at this verse. Romans 16 is right at the very end of the book of Romans. It's the last chapter. Paul's wrapping it up. And he says this, and it's so powerful. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise God. See, Jesus was bruised. Amen. Jesus did have those wounds. But He won't be wounded again, Pastor. He's not going to die again. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But this tells me that Satan keeps getting bruised every time he fights against the children of God. Amen. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. And we continue to bruise him every time to remind him, you lost. I mean, I don't want to insult anybody, but I don't mind insulting Satan. But that's just, am I allowed to say it? Just stop. Just stop fighting. Just stop trying, Satan. Stop trying to hurt us. Stop trying to steal from us. It didn't work before. It's not going to work this time. You don't even change tactics. You try the same old things over and over and over again. Amen. And what does that mean? If you try the same things over and over and over again and expect different results. Yeah. He's insane to think that he can touch the church. He's insane to think that he can destroy a child of God who is in Christ. Amen. He's crazy to think that the temptation that he tried before is going to work this time. Amen. Just stop in the name of Jesus. Get thee hence, Satan. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Let's keep going here. Praise the Lord. This is just, it's just awesome. Amen. Mark 4 is the Christ who commands the sea. The Lord who commands the sea. Amen. So, in Mark chapter 4, this great storm. They're out there sleep. They're out there fishing. Jesus is asleep. Amen. And all of a sudden this storm comes up. And the disciples cry out. They're very scared. They're terrified, in fact. And Mark chapter 4, verse 39 says, And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And the disciples were shocked. They asked the right question because they said in verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What a good question. If you saw Jesus asleep, which means he was tired and he was flesh, get up, walk to the edge of that boat, and just say, peace be still. And then the sea became smooth as glass. It's incredible. It's incredible. I saw something like this that was just about as shocking, but it was separated by about 6 months. The north shore of Oahu, Hawaii, is known for great big waves. There are surfers that come from all over the world to catch these big, huge, huge waves that happen, and it happens during the winter time. During the winter, the currents in the ocean change, and the course, I can't explain all of it, but the weather patterns change and starts pushing these massive waves. And I got out there and tried to swim in the shore break, the 10-foot shore break, and I almost didn't make it back to shore. Let's just put it that way. I thought, oh, I'm a strong swimmer. I tread water for 15 minutes in boot camp. I can get out there. And I'm glad I remembered, and I'll tell you all this, so maybe it'll save your life one day. But I'm glad I remembered that if you're stuck beyond the shore break or beyond the current of the waves, don't try to swim directly back into the shore. You have to swim at an angle to get back. So thankfully I remembered that, and I swam back in, and I had to time it just right because it was like jumping off a 10-foot wall. It's crazy. Well, 6 months later, went back to that very same beach, the North Shore of Hawaii, and it was summertime, and the ocean was just as smooth as glass. The 10-foot shore break went down to about a 2-inch lap. And I was like, this can't be the same beach. Are you sure? This is crazy. Not even a little blip. It was amazing. Separated by 6 months and a bunch of weather patterns and a bunch of... I was shocked at what I saw. Imagine the disciples. I probably would have thought, was I dreaming? But their response was perfect because it set up a great question. It says, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, what a great question. And Scripture alone can answer that question. In Psalm 107, verse 28, it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Only God can speak to the wind and the waves and say, peace be still. Only God can step up, amen, into that turmoil and chaos and say, have command over the elements. Amen. It's the Lord that calms the storm and stills the waves. And the Gospel of Mark is telling us chapter after chapter, He's the one who has power to command the elements. But He's here in my life with me. He's here in my ship with me. Amen. He's here. He's the captain of my salvation. Amen. He's got control of this ship. Amen. He's going to take care of the wind and the seas. Amen. So how then do I trust God in the storms of life? How do I trust God when everything around me is trying to sink me? Amen. Well, our relationship with Jesus, it's not shallow. It has depth when we realize that the one in my boat, in my life, is the creator of the wind and the seas. Amen. And trust grows when we see His authority over the chaos of life. Amen. Psalm 89 verse 9 says this, Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Storms are part of life. But they're part of life that become places that I learn to trust Jesus more. Amen. Fear becomes subject to our worship. And our relationship becomes anchored in His mastery over every threat in my life. Yes, He's the master of the seas. He's the master of all the storms. He's the master of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. The storm might have surprised me, but it didn't surprise Him. Amen. These things that we pray about, the sicknesses and the deaths and all of those things, they didn't surprise God. Amen. And because they didn't surprise Him, He has control over them. Amen. He's able to bring us through them. And He's able to, even in the middle of a storm, be the picture of peace. I just imagine Jesus down in that ship, the whole of that ship, and just sleeping like a baby. Like my wife does sometimes. She sleeps like a baby. I can't even wake her up. Amen. Sleeps through anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So good. God, You're the master of the sea, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, You're the master of my life, God. I submit to You, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the creator, Lord God. Oh, of all the wind and all the waves, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We shall not perish, Lord God, because You are with us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You'll never leave us or forsake us, oh God. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for it. We thank You, Lord God. Somebody thank Jesus. Hallelujah. I know you've been through some storms. I know you felt Him right next to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Amen. So then what about this power? This very powerful thing we call death. What about that power? Is Jesus above the power of death? Oh, yes, He is. Hallelujah. Jesus raises the dead by His own word. The story here in Mark chapter 5 is of Jairus' daughter. We don't really know all the circumstances around it, but Jairus' daughter dies. And we see in the Old Testament, prophets like Elijah and Elisha prayed for God to raise the dead. They stretched themselves on the child. They cried out. They interceded. Jesus does none of that. Mark chapter 5 verse 41 says, "And He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment." He speaks and life returns. He didn't have to pray. He didn't have to seek the will of God because He is God. Amen. He didn't even have to say, "Come back to life." All He had to say was, "Arise." And she got up. Praise the Lord. He is the one God of the Old Testament who said in Deuteronomy 32:39, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." The one God who said that in Deuteronomy is standing there in the room. So all He has to do is say, "Get up, young lady." Amen. And she came back to life. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me. Praise the Lord. When Jesus, amen, resurrected that young lady, when He did that, they were astonished with a great astonishment because they'd never seen it happen like that before. Not even the prophets of old acted like that. Not even the prophets of old had the power and authority of their own word to say, arise, or to say, Lazarus, come forth, or to say, get up. Amen. So how is it that Jesus' power over death, how does it embolden my life and my faith? Well, when Jesus resurrects by His own word, it reveals that nothing in our lives is beyond His reach. There's no brokenness. There's no failure. There's no things that we thought were finished that Jesus doesn't have the power to bring to life. Amen. That Jesus doesn't have the power to mend. That Jesus doesn't have the power to heal. Every single thing that can go wrong, even as bad as death, Jesus has authority over it. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I ask you that question tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus has the power over death? Does your life, amen, do you live your life knowing that even when you close your eyes in death, that you're not going to stay in the grave? Amen. One day Jesus will appear and say, get up, amen. He'll blow that trumpet, amen. The dead in Christ shall rise, amen. Hallelujah. So if I go by the way of the grave, amen, or if I am one of those that are alive and remain, hallelujah, I'm going to be caught up with Him. I'm going to be caught away with Him. And I will be ever with the Lord. Hallelujah. And that emboldens my life. Amen. That tells me that death is not the end of the story. Much less failure. Much less grief. Much less trouble. Amen. Amen. You messed up. That's not the end of the story. Amen. You're broken. That's not the end of the story. Hallelujah. There's a God that is with us. Amen. That has power even over death. Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about it. Do you have the ultimate trust in Him? What could be worse than death? Well, the only thing that I can think of, I did think of one thing that is worse than death, Pastor. One thing. And that is not putting my trust in the only one who has power over death. That's the only thing worse than death, is not having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The God who created heaven and earth. The God who kills and makes alive. The God who wounds and heals. Amen. That is the God that I trust and that I serve. Amen. Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says it like this. And it's in the context of Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Even God who quickeneth the dead. Yes, God makes alive. Abraham believed. Amen. That God could quicken the dead. Say, what do you mean, Brother Darren? What do you mean? Well, Abraham took Isaac up onto that mountain. And he had every intention of killing that boy. Amen. He even brought the knife with him. He even raised back his hand. He had Isaac on that altar. Amen. But he still believed that even if he killed Isaac, that God would have to resurrect Isaac to keep his promise. Amen. He's the God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. So things like my job, my future, amen, the troubles of life are all held in trust by Him. And my relationship with God becomes filled with hope, even in the darkest times. Because the one who is with me, who is in me, amen, speaks life into places where everything else has died. Amen. Promises never die. Amen. Prayers never die. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus, amen, you believe what He said. He said you would never die. Hallelujah. Yes, this body, it's every man's got to die. It's appointed unto us once to die. I'm not talking about this body. Amen. This body, from the moment we're born, is on the way to the grave. It's a bad way to look at it. Amen. But my spirit's not going to die. Amen. Because it's in Him. It's in Him and He's in me. Praise the Lord. So this last chapter today, tonight, Mark chapter 6. And again, we see God having power over the elements. Amen. The God who walks on water. Amen. You better believe that only God can walk on water. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Says, and He saw them toiling and in rowing. They were having a hard time. They were trying their best. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. If they hadn't noticed Him, He would have just walked by. He's just checking on them, making sure they're okay. Nope, none of them. It's like when the kids get hurt, mama says, are you bleeding? Okay, you're all right. Amen. But this is really a serious moment. Because in that moment, they were fighting something much bigger than the boat they were in. And they couldn't see the shore. And somebody forgot the satellite phone at home. And they're out there isolated by the storm. And they are trying their best to stay alive. But they're completely cut off from any help or any hope. And I'm sure that when they were out there on that storm, put that picture up, Brother Andre. When they're out there, I kept trying to tell the AI to make the boat smaller. Make the boat smaller. Amen. Make the waves bigger. It did its best. That's not a real picture. Amen. But they had to feel hopeless, and they didn't notice Jesus at first. Being surrounded, they were fighting their best fight, doing everything they possibly could. And they still were struggling. They still were trying to do everything in their power. But you can't fight things that are bigger than you. You can't overcome those things on your own. Amen. So they needed the God that could walk on water. And thankfully for them, Job chapter 9 verse 8 tells us that God, speaking of God, it says, which spreadeth out the heaven, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Job says God alone walks on the sea. But the Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus was walking to them on the water. You know what that means? Thank you. It means Jesus is God. Jesus is the God that Job wrote about. It's very obvious. Amen. And it's a revelation. Praise the Lord. But it's something that you've got to get down on the inside. Because there are going to be moments in your life that you feel surrounded. You feel isolated. You feel overwhelmed. Amen. It could be temptation. It could be family struggles, financial struggles. It could be whatever it could be. Maybe you're the only one on your job that's full of the Holy Ghost. And everyone else is acting like heathens. It happens sometimes, you know. Maybe, and they expect you to act like a Christian. And they're pushing your buttons. Every single one of them knows. Amen. Pastor Jarvis in Danielson, just up the road. He's closest United Pentecostal Church to us for now. Amen. We were at Connecticut Impact. And I forget the name of the man, but his mom came. And Sister Greeley, you were there praying with the aide. And she received the Holy Ghost and was baptized. Tiffany, I think her name was. And so the mother calls her son. Says, you got to get down here. My aide, first day on the job, just received the Holy Ghost and got baptized. He says, where are you, Mom? I'm coming right now. He's like, great. We're going to come down. What kind of church is this? He tells me. Pentecostal. He says, oh, man. Oh, Pentecostal. I said, why'd you react like that? He says, well, I just know. You know, my mom, she'll get with it, you know. And she brought me to Pentecostal church when I was a kid. And I got to talking to that man, and he said he was in the Carpenters Union. I said, oh, do you know David Jarvis? He says, yes, I know David Jarvis. Well, at first he was not sure. Oh, yeah, I know David Jarvis. I know him very well. I'm a union rep, and he's in the union. He's one of the government officials of the union, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, well, he's a pastor in Danielson. He says, no, David is a pastor? I said, he sure is. So he got to thinking about it. And we go up, we're giving him a tour of the church and everything. And he says, man, come to think about it. We used to poke and prod, and we would try to get Dave to slip up and say one cuss word. We would try our very best. Come on, just say it. Just say it. Poking and prodding him. And he would never do it. I said, praise God. That's my brother. Amen. That's my neighboring friend. He used to go to my church. Man, I was so proud of Pastor Jarvis. Amen. Because all the people in that office, we're trying to get him to not be Christian. But he had Jesus with him. He wasn't all by himself. He wasn't alone. Amen. He wasn't overwhelmed. Because he has the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So how is it that in moments that I find myself and feel like I can't reach Jesus, I feel like that my prayers don't reach higher than the ceiling, amen, as they say. Well, when the disciples can't reach the shore, Jesus comes to them. And not only does He come to them, put my picture back up there. He comes to them walking on the thing that threatened Him. They were being threatened by those waves. They were being threatened by that storm. And Jesus is walking on water like it's a sidewalk. Amen. All things under His feet. All powers are below Him. Amen. The Christ, the Savior of the world, can handle the things that surround you. In fact, He does more than that. He walks on them. Amen. And they are under His feet. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I know Jesus is talking to us in Isaiah 43. But while He is comforting you, He's commanding the elements. That's not a command for me. It's a command to the water and the flame. Amen. Because Jesus has power over them. My relationship with God is confident that He's not limited by my limitations. And where I cannot go, He already walks. And what I cannot handle, He has already tamed. Amen. He's already got it under His feet, church. Hallelujah. There's no storm. There's no element. There's no power that can defeat Him. Amen. There's nothing that can stop Him. Amen. And Mark chapters 3 through 6 tells us, and it takes us beyond that revelation of who Jesus is into the revelation of what His presence does in our lives. Amen. The same God that revealed Himself in Mark chapters 1 through 2 demonstrates to us. It's right before our eyes, if you will, the authority that He has over every single realm that would try to fight you. Amen. Everything that would make you weak, amen, He is strong in it. Hallelujah. He binds the strong man so we never fight the enemy alone. He calms storms so fear cannot rule our hearts. He raises the dead so hopelessness does not have the final word. And He walks on water so nothing that overwhelms us can overwhelm Him. Why don't we stand together tonight? Amen. Lift up our hands. Lift up our voices. Amen. Lord Jesus, You've entered our lives, oh God. Oh, You're not some distant God, some distant helper. Amen. You're not just somebody that speaks from the heavens. But Lord, You're with us. Amen. And You have all authority over everything, Lord God. Every story that we've read in this book, Lord God. Every story in those chapters, God, tells us, Lord, we've heard You ourselves, God. We've heard You ourselves. Amen. It's not through somebody else's testimony, God. It's not through somebody else's faith, Lord God. Amen. But it's through our encounter with Your presence, Lord Jesus. You've revealed Yourselves to us, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us to walk with you, Lord Jesus. Help us to walk with you, oh God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We love you, God. Amen. 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 Oh, I praise you. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. You are so good. You are so good. You are so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to keep walking through the book of Mark here. Amen. And this, the next part of it, amen, is so good because it's, you know, this is Jesus. You know, what we just went through tonight is Jesus showing his just ultimate power. It's like Jesus just flexing, amen, over everything. Praise the Lord. But these next chapters, you're not going to want to miss this. Amen. In fact, if you tell somebody, we have on the app and the website, they can go back and listen to this series and get caught up. Amen. And invite them to come, because if we're not preaching Jesus, amen, we're not really preaching. Praise the Lord. If I preach about you, you're going to be lost. But because I preach Jesus, you're going to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we'll keep walking through this, and every chapter is going to pull us closer to Jesus. Every single one. And those Samaritans that we've been looking at, that case study. Amen. I want it to become something that I say, that I know him for myself. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. And I have him in my life. I'm full of his Spirit. Amen. Are you thankful to be full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Let's clap our hands and make a joyful noise to him. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, come Friday night, 10 o'clock. Amen. We'll start at 10 and pray all night.